Bless the Lord. I'm grateful for the young people that are alive and with us here at the Shiloh Church. It lets me know that they are the church of tomorrow. Amen. The church of the future. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Amen. The last book of the Bible. And as I always say, if you need help finding Genesis or Revelation, I've got a special tutorial, Sunday School 1.01. Amen. Turn to Revelation chapter number 4. And I want to read for you three verses out of this fourth chapter. Let me know you're there by saying amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, which is a continuation of the title of the sermon series we are doing, Post-Redemption Songs, Song of Zion, number one. And I'm going to walk you through about 8 or 9 of these songs of Zion, and I'm calling them post-redemption songs. Won't you pray with me? Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. For you, Lord, are our strength and you are our redeemer. I pray that the collective meditations of our hearts and our minds will be acceptable unto you, and that you would teach us something we did not know about your word. Illuminate our minds, encourage our hearts, and convict somebody, everybody, anybody's soul for a closer walk with thee. God, let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place, that indeed you may be glorified and Jesus' name might be magnified. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray it. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say amen and amen. You may be seated. So today I want to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. Last week I interrupted the sermon series on post-redemption songs because we had a special engagement with our brother in Christ, the Reverend Dr. Jeff Vamos of the Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville. And I want to thank those of you last week who came to 8 o'clock service and then went up to Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville and shared with us at our 11 o'clock, at their 10 o'clock service. And then, as you know, we came back down here for our 11 o'clock service. So it was a rich time of fellowship and exchange with our brothers and our sisters there at the Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville. They appreciate the fellowship. We appreciate them. They appreciate us. And I praise God that we are all connected in this way. Amen. So today I want to move back to this moment of talking about these songs in Revelation. I've said to you that Revelation tends to be a book that is ignored by a lot of folk in the church because it, for many reasons and many ways, tends to scare people. with regards to this notion of its almost mystic portrayal of the last days. And so what I want to do is, one, keep demystifying the book of Revelation and saying, yeah, there's a lot of language in the book that I don't fully grasp. There's a lot of imagery in the book that might indeed be a bit off-putting. There's a lot of things that we just don't know about what John's revelatory writing is about. But what we do know, we ought to grasp hold of it and try to apply it to our lives. The one thing I do know is that John lets me know that I can do nothing if I'm not caught up in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. John says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day, and the Lord told me to write. I heard the Lord, John says, and I simply believe that we cannot hear the things of God if we are not in the Spirit of God. And so that's one of the very clear things that John's writing tells me in the book of Revelation. Another thing that John tells me, there's seven churches that receive a letter. And those churches, the letter to those churches, let me know that there's some gifts that God is going to give us if we overcome. So the language of overcoming is something that's not mystic. It doesn't need to be demystified. It's very clear. To him who overcomes, I will give you a crown of righteousness. To him who overcomes, I will write your name on a rock that nobody knows but you and God. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat freely from the tree of life. To him who overcomes, I'll give you a robe, a raiment, a garment. The Bible speaks this very clearly, and I take it at its word. Those chapters 1, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. Chapter 2 and 3, here are the letters to the seven churches. And then at the end of the book, John says, and I, John, saw a new city descending out of the sky. And there were three gates in the north and three gates in the south and three gates in the east and three gates in the west. And John writes to us about the vision of the New Jerusalem. So there's some things that I don't think needs to be completely, we don't need to be afraid of. You ought to gravitate to the fact that the language of the scripture in Revelation tells me I've got to keep chugging. I got to keep pressing. I've got to keep moving. I got to overcome this thing. I can't let anybody hold me back. I can't let anybody keep me down. I can't let anybody rob me of my joy of finishing the race that God has called me to finish. Amen, somebody. How many of you still running for the Lord? And I'm not tired yet. There's a song we sing at Holy Life. I know we've sang it here, Betty. I'm running for the Lord, and I'm not tired yet, right? I'm not going to get tired till I get my crown and get my robe and get my name. And I'm not going to let any demon or devil keep me from getting my prize. Amen, amen, and amen. But sandwiched in between Revelation 21 and 22, and Revelations 1, 2, 3, and 4 are about 16 chapters of writing that are very dense. And John writes about these visions. One of the things that is very clear to me about these visions is that it uses the language of Old Testament. And it goes back to the writings of Isaiah, the prophet, and Daniel, the great leader in Babylon. And John, who is a Jew. Remember, all the biblical characters in the New Testament are Jewish until they first become Christians at Antioch. But they're still Jewish. They were raised Jewish. They were given the training of a Jewish man. They probably went through bar mitzvahs like we do, the circumcision rite for young men. They may have gone through bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs for girls. Jewish by culture, Jewish by race, Jewish by religion. And yet God takes their Jewish identity and breathe a new, fresh understanding of who they are. That's what I'm asking God to do. Take our stale old religion and breathe some fresh life into what God wants us to be about. There ought to be excitement when folks see you. There ought to be a state of ecstaticism to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. But among those kind of dense visionary writings, there's also another very clear statement that John gives us. That is about songs of Zion. Now look in your bulletin real quick. In the bulletin, I tried to lay out a few notes to keep explaining this to you, because I don't want you to miss the importance of what we're talking about. So on the left side of the page, I've put down there that this sermon series title could actually be restated as glorification songs. Because the fact of the matter is, redemption is what happens while we're on earth. But preacher, you're talking about stuff that's happening up in heaven. So are we talking about songs I'm going to be singing on earth, or are we going to be talking about songs we're going to sing up in heaven? Let me be real clear. This is about songs that are being sung up in heaven. But we who are on earth, if you want to get into heaven, you've got to start rehearsing the things you're going to do up in heaven. Don't wait till you get to heaven, because if you start rehearsing up in heaven, you might not be in heaven. Amen, somebody. You might want to start rehearsing this right now. You might want to get a tune in your spirit and some praise in your spirit to say, Lord, I'm going to start praising you right now. Because if indeed I'm going to do it for the rest of my heavenly days, I'm going to start doing it right now while I'm on earth. Because what I do on earth is going to get me ready for heaven. John's songs are about heavenly creatures, or what I call heavenly hosts. And celestial creatures. The text I just read for you is four living creatures. It talks about 24 elders. So what I want to walk through each of these next several weeks is how each of these categories of heavenly beings, how we understand them, and where do we see ourselves in the heavenly realm. Now, going back to the notes on the page, I've said that there are three phases of a Christian's life. One is when you are justified. That's called justification. That's an event. That's a one-time thing. The second is something called sanctification. That's a process. I put the word process next to that, didn't I? And then thirdly is the word glorification. So justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification happens on earth. Sanctification happens on earth. But glorification happens when you get to heaven. Come on, somebody. And no matter how long you live on earth, you are still in a state of sanctification. From the moment you accept Jesus as your Savior and you confess your sins and say, Lord, wash me and give me another chance, that's when you've been justified, made just as if you have never sinned before. God washes your sins away. How many of you are thankful today that God is not counting against you some of the stuff you did when you were out in the world, and some of y'all did some stuff, and if I walked up and down your pew right now, you might still have remnants of some of that stuff right now. Some of y'all bought some stuff when you were out in the world. Some of y'all smoked some stuff when you were out in the world. Some of y'all drank some stuff when you were out in the world. Some of y'all did some stuff that needs not be mentioned up in the church house when you were out in the world. But you better say, thanks be to God that the stuff I did, He has washed away and thrown my sins into the sea of forgetfulness and has given me another chance. Anybody grateful for another chance? Thanks be to God. Because if God stacked up all my stuff, boy, I don't know where I would be. But when you acknowledge your stuff and you say, I'm a sinner and I need salvation, that's when God says, stuff, be gone. You are made as just as if, justification, just as if you had never sinned. Then you are started down a state of what's called sanctification. That's when God is molding you and shaping you and conforming you into the image that he wants you to be. I know what you was when you first came to Christ, but what you used to be is not what you ought to be right now. That's what I always say. I know I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not everything you want me to be, but thank God I'm not who I used to be. He's working on me. He's molding me. He's shaping me. I'm like clay on the potter's wheel. I'm going round and round and round. And God, have your way. Sometimes I'm dry. I need you to add a little bit of holy water. Sometimes I got too much water and I'm falling apart. I need you to put me back together again. Sometimes I'm like Humpty Dumpty. I was sitting on the wall. I fell down, broke into pieces. But God got his crazy glue out and put me back together. Put me back together again. That's called sanctification, and he is still working on you until you breathe your last breath. And then when you get to heaven, that's when you get glorified. Jesus himself said, don't touch me, Mary. I am not yet glorified. We on earth are going to be part of a community of glorified beings when you get to heaven. And that's where John picks up the story. Now, he walks between earth and heaven. He walks us between earth and heaven. We haven't earthly beings, but look at the spiritual beings. I when I first saw E.T., and I later came to say, you know what, I believe in E.T.'s. I believe in extraterrestrial beings, because the fact of the matter is, when I look in the Bible, God tells me there's some beings that on the other side, some angelic hosts, some angels, some angels. We know about Gabriel. We know about Michael. We know about some of the other angels, but there's some angels we don't even know about, y'all. And I want to get to heaven. I want to see all of the created order. We're not the only ones. Look what the Bible says. We have been created a little lower than the angels. There's a whole realm of beings we don't even know about. This is where folk may call us crazy. If you call me crazy, it's all right, because I'm all right being called a fool for the Lord. So in this text, we are introduced to the first set of heavenly beings. And these are called living creatures. Put the text up. The text says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8a, and if you look in your Bible, this book of Revelation gives us a sense of talking to us about these beings. And so the four living creatures, each having six wings, and they do not rest day or night. So four living creatures. This is the first group, not one living creature, but four living creatures, each having six wings. That ought to ring a bell for you. Go to the next verse. Verse 8b says, and those four living creatures would cry out, holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is the first revelation song that we see in the book of Revelations that is uttered by these four living beings. That's all they did. They sang, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, he who was, he who is, and he who is to come. These four living beings. Go to the next verse. Verse number 10 says this. In chapter 4, it says that after these four began begin to say, holy, 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 verse 9, the next verse goes on to talk about the 24 elders. The 24 elders, and in that, the statement about the 24 elders, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Verse, go to the next verse. It says, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, the second group of heavenly beings. So let's stick with the first one. They show God's royalty. Holy, holy, holy. When I think about that verse in Revelation, my mind automatically goes to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. And in that text, Isaiah says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. But don't miss this part. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, the only folk I know who sit on thrones are royal people. I've never met the Queen of England, but I've met her chaplain. And whenever he serves the Queen, he serves her as a royal state of the court, the Queen of England. And they sit on thrones. Kings and queens sit on thrones. And so, therefore, Isaiah says, when I saw the King Uzziah high and lifted up, in the year King Uzziah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. That tells me that he saw a vision of a royal something or somebody. And that royal something or somebody was God, was God's representative sitting on the throne. And when I think about what the Bible says about Jesus' royalty, my mind goes back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, that says, for unto us a son is given, a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. But then in the book of John, it goes on to talk to us during the crucifixion scene where Pilate says, he references himself as a king. Jesus says, you have said correctly, I am a king, sent to do what I was called to do. And so from those two verses alone, I can give you dozens of other ones. I recognize Jesus as my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. And one day the King is going to sit on his throne. And when we get to heaven, guess what? The throne is going to be the center of our very existence. And the four living creatures are going to go around the throne and they're going to sing a song called Holy, Holy, Holy. And here's where it gets to Isaiah and Revelation. In Isaiah, it says that they had six wings. In Revelation, it says that they had six wings. And two of those wings were to fly in the presence of the King. And two of those wings were to cover their eyes, because God is so holy, they can't even look at the King. And then two of those wings were to cover their feet, because you cannot stand in the presence of royalty. I don't care how clean you are, you're not clean enough to stand before the presence of God. But the seraphim, the cherubim, and the living creatures in Revelations, all they say is holy, holy, holy. Does anybody want to stand with the seraphim when they get to heaven and to acknowledge God's royalty? He is the King of Kings. The first R is royalty. They acknowledge, the living creatures acknowledge God's royalty. The second is reverence. And it goes on then to back to verse number 10, where as the four living creatures flew around the throne singing holy, 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 the second set of heavenly bodies are the 24 elders. Now, I don't know exactly why the number 24, and I don't know exactly who the 24 are, but there is reason to suggest in the New Testament book of Revelation that John synthesizes the old and the new. And so there's language in the old from the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And there's language in the New Testament to suggest the 12 apostles that walked with Jesus. Now, maybe 12 in the old and 12 in the new make up the 24, but I don't know for sure. That's one of those questions I'm going to have to ask God when I get to heaven. But when I get to heaven, it's really not going to matter much, because I'm just going to be in the number with the 24 elders, with the four living creatures. But my mind now, as I'm being sanctified, I have an inquiry about who they are. But so I don't know exactly. But here's what it said: they show reverence to God. Why do I know? Because the text says in verse number 10 that as the creatures sang song of Zion, holy, 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 the 24 elders would cast their royal diadems. Look at the text. They would cast their crowns before the throne. And they would say, in verse number 11, they would say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory." So get it right now. The four living creatures are hovering around God's throne, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Every time they get to the third holy, the 24 elders would take off their crown and cast it into the presence of Almighty God. Now, I don't know where they keep getting more crowns, but that really isn't what I need to focus on. Because every time they said holy, another crown would appear. And they would take that crown off and cast it into the presence of Almighty God. And every time the creatures got to the third holy, they would take their crown off and cast it into the presence of God. And every time they got to the third holy, there would be another crown. They would take their crown off and they would bow down and cast their crowns into the presence of Almighty God. And that was the way that they showed respect and reverence to God. Now, now, you and I don't have our crowns yet, and I'm trying to get my crown. But every time I hear God's holy name referenced, I ought to do something to show reverence. And I'm just going to pretend like I got a crown. And I got to bow down and say, "Father, I reverence you. Father, I magnify you. Father, I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven. I'm going to bow down right now." In the presence of God. See, reverence is different than thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is what you do when you get something. Reverence is what you do when you know who somebody is. If I never get anything else from God, He's already given me enough. I'm not going to glorify Him because He gave me something. No, that's called using God. I'm going to reverence Him because of who He is. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. He's the author and the finisher of my salvation. He deserves my praise. Point one, royalty, four living creatures. Point two, reverence, the 24 elders bowing down. Point three is this question of respect. And look at the song, the third song. Put this point three up. The third song in verse number 11 says this. This is what the 24 elders say. They bow down to God and they speak these words, saying to God. The first song was holy, holy, holy. Put verse 11 up for me. They say, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, God, and by your will they exist and were created." If I was to focus on anything in that song, put the song back up. If I was to focus on anything in that song, It would be by your will. By your will. A lot of us get caught up in what we want. But a true glorified being is not concerned anymore about what they want. Because anything that they want is now found in the will of God. And so Jesus taught his disciples to pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But once we get in heaven, then I'm not quite sure what the will on earth is going to be. But what I do know is by your will, you've created these things around me. And I'm so grateful that the will of God is operating right now in my life. And I'm so grateful that the will of God will continue to operate all the rest of the days of my life, because I don't care what I go through down here. The devil tries to throw some things on me, but God's will says I am more than a conqueror. God's will says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And you don't know what I allow you to go through. You don't know why I allow you to go through it. But the one thing I have come to realize is that, Father, if I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll work it out. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll make a way. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll open the door. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll move the mountain. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll give me a bridge over troubled waters. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll step in the lion's den with me. If I'm obedient to your will, I know you'll stay in the fiery furnace with me. If I am obedient to your will. How do you know the will of God? You've got to listen and be attuned to the Spirit of God as he leads you and navigates you. And at every point along the way, you got to ask God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to say? Is this the job you want me to have? Because it's the point that this, the point isn't whether the decision, the point is, are you listening to God's leading as your, are you even humble enough to ask God to be involved in the decision? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's some things I do not know. It's a song I think we sing like that, right? Some places. I can't go. But I'm sure of this one thing. What's the song? Yes, God is real. For I can feel deep in my soul. Yes, God is real. Real in my soul. He has washed and made me whole. Yes, God is real. You've got to believe that God is alive and real in your decision making. Because then you ask his will. And I believe if you ask it, he'll lead you and guide you. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. Because here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember the first set of living creatures, the first set of heavenly beings are what? The four what? Living creatures. That's your answer. The first set of heavenly beings are what? The four living creatures. The second set of heavenly beings are what? The 24 elders. And they each sang a song. And I don't want you to miss the song. Holy, holy, holy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And your will is what is still creating and guiding us. Next week, I want you to look at the next set of songs that we're going to sing out of Revelation chapter 5. And it's right there in the sermon series. Read the entire text of Revelation chapter 5. That's your homework. Amen. That's your homework. Amen. Yes, you in school. It's called, some of y'all not yet in Sunday school, so I got to get it to you in church service. That's your homework. Amen. But we are reviewing this in Bible study on Wednesday nights. We invite you to come and be a part of the conversation. Everyone stand to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Let me invite you, whoever you are, to really consider what it means to make a decision for Jesus today. Some of you have come into the house of prayer, the tabernacle of praise today, and maybe you've come just to check it out, and maybe you've come as a visitor, and maybe at the invitation of a friend or someone. But here's what I want you to know today. However you got here, God is great. I'm grateful and God is pleased that you're here. And now that you're here, I need you to consider one thing before you leave. Where is your soul going to spend eternity? Where is your soul going to spend eternity? Everyone has to answer that question. We have an answer that you can spend eternity with God in heaven. In order to get there, you've got to make a decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Look at God today.